Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now live at the 9 o'clock hour. Welcome to the Omega Ministries Group Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Servant Jason Felix, live all the way from Detroit, Michigan. We're on tonight, we will explore the mysteries of God. And my question is, what does it take to be saved from sin then and now? Right, I'm going to take you on a trip way back into the Old Testament today, where we are going to discuss Leviticus chapter 14. So without that being said, before I go and move any further, I got to break it down and pray for those in need today. So with that being said, let us have our prayer. Loving God, right now, we just want to pray, Father, that you will comfort those who are suffering. Lend skill to the hands of their healers and bless the means used for their cure. Father God, give them such confidence in the power of your grace that even when they are afraid, they may put their whole trust in you through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, by your patience and suffering, you hallowed earthly pain and gave us the example of obedience to your Father's will. So be near your lost souls in their time of weakness and pain and sustain them by your grace, that their strength and their courage may not fail. Heal them according to your will and help them to always to believe that what happens to them is here is of little account if you hold them in eternal life, our Lord and our God. Oh, Father, right now, look down upon them with eyes of mercy. May your healing hand rest upon them. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of their body, into the depths of their soul, cleansing and purifying and restoring them to wholeness and strength for service in your kingdom. Oh, merciful Jesus, you are our God, the author of our hope and the object of our love. So we come seeking refreshment and peace for the lost soul right now. So show them your mercy and relieve them of their fears and their anxieties, and grant them a quiet mind and an expected heart, that by the assurance of your presence, they may learn to abide in you, who is our Lord and our God. So, Lord, right now, lift them up for your blessings today, and we pray that you will anoint them with strength and self-care today, tomorrow, and always. We pray that you will grace them with patience and wisdom. We pray that you will encourage them throughout the day to take the correct steps, to walk proudly, and to behave well. We pray for all of those in your master's mighty name today, Father. So with that being said, heal the lost soul's broken heart. Fill them with the peace and joy we know can only come from you during this hard time. So we walk closely beside them during their journey to healing and recovery that they know is possible through you alone. Blessed Jesus, in the comfort of your love, we lay before you the memories that haunt us, the anxieties that perplex us, and the despair that frightens us, and our frustration at our inability to click clearly. So help the lost soul right now to discover your forgiveness in their memories and know your peace in their distress. Test them, O Lord, and fill them with your life and your hope. And as they move, Father, keep them away from sickness, disease, or harm, or danger, or spiritual death, and or poverty. And Father God, right now, we just want to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. And it's in your master's mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello. Good evening, my people. Like I said, welcome again to Omega's Ministries Group Blog Talk Radio Show, where tonight we're going to explore through the chapters of Leviticus chapter 14. And in this chapter, it just talks about the old school. And I just want to get you to the representation of the leper. So I'm talking about the ceremonial cleansing of the leper, the ceremonial cleansing a house of leprosy, and the ceremonial law for cleansing leprosy and the issues of the flesh. So with that being said, you know, we understand that in the Bible, I think there's a couple chapters that discuss it, which are chapters 13 and 14. And I must insist that I'm not giving you a cure for leprosy. This is what we call ceremonial cleansing. You see, there evidently were those lepers who were cured by the treatment of that day and whatever it was. And also there were those who were healed supernaturally. Now, we know today that there is a cure for leprosy. It is not an incurable disease, and Scripture does not present it as such. You see, it is a terrible disease and is used to teach us tremendous spiritual lessons about sin. So with that being said, this chapter will cast a rare light and a hope into the darkness of the leper's plight. So we note that no physician's prescription is given for the treatment and cure of leprosy. Rather, it shows the ceremonial cleansing which allows and follows the cure. You see, this alludes to the redemption of the sinner. You see, the ritual is entirely symbolic, yet there is a therapeutic value in washing and in cleansing. You see, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, per se, you see, sin separated God and man. Now, this barrier of sin moved into a twofold direction in that it affected both God and man. You see, it moved forward toward God and made man guilty before a holy God. You see, it moved downward toward man, and man became polluted and contaminated with sin. Now, leprosy is a picture of sin and its pollution and contamination. You see, the remarkable thing here, watch this, the feature in this chapter is the unique ceremony of cleansing and the treatment of a plague of leprosy in a house. Now, the house is treated as a leper, obviously emphasizing the thought of contagion. So let's dive on in. This is the ceremonial cleansing of the leper without the camp. Now, verses 1 through 3 go like this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. I will stay there, and I want to break everything down, scripture for scripture. You see, we got to notice right here. that the priest is not going out to heal the leper, but is going out to see if he has been healed. I need you to recognize that that is important. That's why I want to break this down without even reading the whole chapter. We're going to go verse for verse from the beginning, because this is important. You see, the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing was this. This is a ritual which was to be followed precisely. It is a ceremonial cleansing which followed the cure of the leprosy. See, the man had been pronounced a leper by the priest. Now, the priest must declare him cleansed. The priest must go out to the leper and meet him where he is. Ooh. You see, the leper would not dare to come into society among the people, for he was forbidden to do that. He was shut out. Therefore, the priest must go to him. We find this mentioned in Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And as he mentioned it, to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, this is what we call a wonderful parallel here to the person and work of our high priest and great physician. You see, he came first, and he came forth from heaven's glory to this sin-cured, this sin-cursed earth where man was suffering from the leprosy of sin. Oh, my people, we can't go up into the society of heaven when we are lepers. We've done well to make it to the moon, my people. But the men didn't get rid of their sin when they went to the moon. No, not at all. You see, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to come out of heaven's glory to this earth. You see, the hymn states it very accurately. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. That is his story. You see, there's a great deal of emphasis placed on this, my people. And the second chapter of Hebrews tells us about this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And forasmuch then as the children are partakers of the flesh, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is, the devil. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I just read you Hebrews chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, verse 14 and verse 16 and 17. You see, he came out of heaven's glory down to this earth. I need you to recognize that. You see, the priest had to come to the left. Yeah, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I just gave you Galatians 4:4-5. You see, we need to emphasize that he still goes all the way to the center to heal his plague of sin. Yeah, no matter where you at or what you're doing, he's coming to you. Because I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's Revelations 3:20. Stop playing with me. You see, God has declared that the heart of man is vile, so it is God who must pronounce a man clean. He alone can cleanse, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, clean of us from all sin. I just gave you 1 John 1:7. Now notice what the priest did when he came to the leper. Verses 4-7 tell us just like this. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Didn't I just tell you this could be an unusual ceremony? I don't think there is anything anywhere as unusual as this. See, all other sacrifices were to be made at the altar of the tabernacle and later of the temple at the command of God. But this is the exception. The leper was shut out from the tabernacle, and so it was necessary for the priest to come to him. Now, let me get y'all there. I know you know about that brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar for the sacrifices speaks of the cross of Christ. I hope you know that. But you see, that cross had to be down here on this earth. He had to come down here to meet us where we are. Oh, my people, oh, you're paying attention. I'm giving you game. We were shut out from God. We were strangers and afar off without hope and without God in the world. He had to come here to meet us in our need. There were two live, remember, clean birds used in the sacrifice. Most likely they were doves. One was killed to represent the death of Christ. The other was living to represent the resurrection of Christ. You might need to write that down if that's what you needed to do right now. You see, these are the two facets of the gospel, my people. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. You see two birds. They represent these two things, death and resurrection. Then notice that they use cedar wood. Oh, I know you don't know nothing about this. This, I think, is a symbol of the perfect humanity of Christ. You see, the wood was incorruptible. It served as a practical purpose as the handle of a brush to which the hyssop was tied with a scarlet ring. Now, the scarlet was evidently scarlet wool. Now, the scarlet, I believe, is a sign of faith in the blood. Yeah, it reminds us that Rahab was instructed to put out a scarlet cord as evidence of her faith. Now, hyssop, my people, is a plant that grows upon rocks in damp places. It represents the faith of the individual. I believe it's Psalm 51 and 7, what it says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, it is the appropriation of the application of the redemption in Christ. You see, one man at the sidelines, he can stand at the sidelines and nod his head and say he believes that Jesus died and rose again. Now, that is not saving faith, my people. You see, the question is whether or not you have appropriated it for yourself. Have you actually put your trust in him? What are you doing today with your thought process? Also, it is the application of the death of Christ and the blood of Christ to sin in the believer's life. Ah, what does it say in the word? "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Ah, that's 1 John 1 and 7. You see, the earthen vessel speaks of humanity, of the humanity of Christ. He took upon himself our flesh, our humanity. Paul calls himself an earthen vessel in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. The earthen vessel is this body which we have. You see, the emphasis is upon the weakness and infirmity of humanity. And the word says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. You see, running water, my people, is living water. This water was taken from a running stream and or fountain. This speaks of both the word of God and the spirit of God. Now, the ritual, right, is both unusual and beautiful. One of the birds is slain over the earthen vessel in which there is the living water. This represents the death of Christ, who offered himself by the eternal spirit. Now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Now, it was essential. Watch this. To have two birds to carry out the typical meaning of resurrection. Now, the live bird was dipped in the blood of the slain bird to identify him with the bird that was slain. Then the live bird was given its freedom, permitting it to fly away. You see, Christ was delivered for our offenses and then raised for our justification to give us the liberty to stand steadfast in Christ. I believe it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, my people, that means not to get entangled again with religion and regulations and ritual and law. You see, Christ took our place and died our death, paid our penalty. You see, he was raised for us. If he died for us down here, then he died in him, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15, and we were raised in him, and we are in him yonder at the right hand of God, Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 6. I want you to read them when you get some time. Oh, my people, you got to recognize that the believer is as free as the birds of the heavens and is delivered from religion and ritual and law. You see, the believer is now the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is subject to Christ's will and way. What does it say in John 14:15? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. That's what he says in his word. Then it says, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy. How many times? Seven times. Seven, my people, is the number of completeness and finality. This settled forever the question of whether the leper was cleansed or not. You see, there are only two kinds of people in this word. In this world, my people, watch this. There are lepers and there are cleansed lepers. I told you, right? That is, there are lost sinners and there are saved sinners. That is all. I don't know what you thought you was. You a sinner, chicken dinner. See, check this out. The living water and the blood meet in this ceremony, my people. John was careful to note for us that when Christ died and the soldier pierced his side, blood and water came forth. You find that in John chapter 19, verses 34 and 35. You see, he repeats the fact that Jesus Christ came by water and the blood in his epistle, 1 John 5, verse 6. Now, the Gnostics in John's day taught that Jesus was not God, but that God came upon him at baptism, that is, the water, and departed from him at the cross, that is, the blood. You see, John insists that Jesus Christ was God from the very beginning when he was made flesh. And that he was God on the cross when he shed his precious blood. What is saying his word? And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. You see, the ceremony and the suffering and the offering concerning the leper bore this out and illustrates this great truth. Watch this. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes also. He shall wash his in fresh, wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. That's verses 8 and 9. Woo! I mean, he got to get it together. I mean, they say cleanliness is best in what next to godliness. Now, you'll have to admit that this is an unusual thing. You see, the sacrificial ceremony has been completed, denoting that the leper has been cleansed and accepted. Now, before he enters back into society, this further ritual shows that his old life has ended for him and a new life opens for him. Ooh, I hope you're paying attention. I just blessed you. You see, the clothes represent the habit of life, his lifestyle. The shaving off of all his hair off his body emphasizes the radical and revolutionary change that is taking place in his life. Oh, yeah, we're being renewed like the eagle. Oh, my friend, when a believer comes to Christ, there is going to be a change. You need to recognize that. The putting away of the flesh is essential to be consistent, walk before God. You see, the Lord Jesus said, what he say? Ye shall know them by their fruits, Matthew 7:16. That is still the test tube for his own. Again, the 7 days indicate a complete cycle of testing and inspection. He is to be tested before he returns to society. I think that sometimes we let new converts give a testimony, I believe, too soon. You see, believers are to put up and be watched for a while. They must be a newness of life. You see, at the end of this time, he washed himself thoroughly. The child of God needs to be continuously washed. What is it, John 17:17? What does it say? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. No, that's John 15:3. And John 17:17 gives me, sanctify them through thy truth, that word is truth. I knew it was going to come to me. Oh, my people, watch this. You can never be cleansed or sanctified, set apart for God's use until you are saturated with the word of God. How important that is to know. Now, here's the thing. Maybe I say that the 7 days for the believer, the time of completeness, is when God completes the earthly journey of his church. Then he will present her to himself as a cleansed church. You find that in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27. Now, in the meantime, the believer is in the process of being sanctified. This is the practical aspect. There should be a daily growth or development in faith and in practice. And holiness is the spiritual life of what health is to the physical body. So I want you to ponder that as we take a pause for the cause right now, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the ceremonial cleansing of the leper within the camp, and that's going to roll us on through. I'm just glad that you're here. If you got a moment, get you something to drink, get whatever you need to get you sit back and thinking and ponder about that. What does it take to be saved from sin? Because that leprosy describes sin. What leprosy do you have in your life? Think about it, and we'll talk about it when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, where we are discussing Leviticus chapter 14, where my question is, what does it take to be saved from sin then and now? whereas this chapter talks about leprosy. And I'm letting you know today we recognize leprosy as the sin in your life. I wanted to piggyback before I move forward and got to that, because it, right now I was talking about the cleansing within the camp. And right when we just talked about the washing of the clothes, it reminded me back in Leviticus chapter 13, I believe it's verse 59, where it says, "This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in a warp or a woof or any things of skin, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean." See, back then, this was what we call an extended passage relative to the disposing of their garments and when they were to be cleansed. The quality of the garment made no difference. The best garments were just as infected as the cheap garments. There is a great lesson for us to learn through this, my people. The righteousness of man is filthy rags in God's sight. Anything a sinner does or touches is contaminated by his sin. You see, even the garments of those with lesser infections were to be washed. This passage shows an amazing insight into the spread of infection, and we are all as an unclean thing, and we too need what we call complete washing, but only God has the remedy for the sinner. Now, the devil ain't going to win tonight, trying to kick me out of the live broadcast, but we back in like Earl Flynn. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to kick it to y'all, and you don't want me to give you this game. Ceremonial cleansing of the leper within the camp reads a little something like this, Leviticus chapter 14, verse 10. It says, "And on the eighth day," this is after the leper has been contaminated, been put outside the camp. Then they get free to come back in. They got to wash their clothes, shave all the hair off their body. And on the eighth day, it says, "He shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and one log of oil." This is what we call a large, real serious grocery list. You see, the cleansed leper is now fit to enter the congregation of the Lord, but when he does, he must take his place with the other Israelites and present the offering that every member of the congregation brought before the Lord. He brings two he lambs, one ewe lamb, fine flour, oil, and a log of oil. These are all the offerings which the average Israelite would normally make in his lifetime. It indicated the full acceptance of the cleansed leper. Then that gives us verses 11 through 20. And they read, "And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he has shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so the trespass offering it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the right thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the big right of the right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean." Watch this. All this has some representation, and we're going to work this through. You see, this extended passage is in the authorized version isn't a single sentence. You see, the action here is one continuous ceremony which encompasses all the offerings and means that the cleansed leper now stands before the door of the tabernacle just as any other Israelite. He brings first, well, guess what, a he lamb for a trespass offering, to remind him that he is still a sinner who sins and who needs the cleansing blood of Christ applied by the Holy Spirit to his life. The other he lamb is for a sin offering. Because the cleansed leper still has his sin nature, the ewe lamb is for a burnt offering to set forth the person of Christ as God sees him. And the fine flour mingled with oil speaks of the meal offering, which sets forth the loveliness of the humanity of Christ. Now, the blood put on the tip of the right ear, guess what? It indicates that he can now hear the voice of the Son of God saying, what does it say? Thy faith has made thee well, that may be whole. And then the blood on the right thumb indicates that with clean hands he can now serve God. And the blood on the right toe indicates that the cleansed leper can now walk in the way of God. And the oil poured on his head, it indicates he is now totally dedicated to God. You see, all these offerings speak of Christ, through whom the cleansed leper is acceptable to God. There is nothing special about him just because he is a cleansed leper. You see, too often we see Christians who feel that somehow they are different and special. They withdraw from the others and think that they are better than the others. Oh, my people, we each must come just as all the rest come. Everyone must be acceptable to God through Christ. We each need to be washed, thoroughly washed, that is. You remember that Peter protested to the Lord Jesus that he would never wash his feet, and our Lord answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. That was John 13:8. There is a great lesson in this for you and for me. You see, yes, the leper was brought back, and yes, he had been cleansed of his leprosy, but he stood with the rest of the congregation before God. He still stood as a sinner. We need to recognize this, and he needed the constant cleansing before God. You see, verses 21 through 32, as it explains the offering that could be brought there if they were poor. And I'm going to get you that. Because it was quite interesting to think that a person who had been a leper would not be able to afford an elaborate ritual, correct? And again, the provision of God for the poor is marvelous. No one is shut out because of poverty. My people, turtle doves or pigeons cannot be substituted in this offering. Because it says, and if he be poor and cannot give so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering and a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two pigeons such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb with the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the right thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his hand of his left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle his right finger with some of the oil that is in the left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the right thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the one for a burnt offering with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. That was a ceremonial cleansing of a house where it has been a leprosy within it, because it says in the word, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, when ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, and that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterwards the priest shall go in to see the house. Now, I must confess that a house, right, would be an unusual place to find leprosy, right? It is hard to know exactly what they mean by this passage, but perhaps it was some type of fungus that had some type of fungus growth or dry rot which entered into the fabric of the house. Now the priest would examine the house, right, for greenish or reddish streaks, and would examine it again in 7 days to see if the plague was spreading. Now the picture is that we live in an old house down here. Oh, that's our body. And we live in this world, which is also contaminated by sin. Now, the old house we live in is filled with leprosy, my people. You see, there are 3 stages in the ceremonial cleansing of the house. First, the house was emptied of the furniture and occupants. Priests inspected it and then shut it up for 7 days before making another inspection. If he then found a trace of leprosy, he removed the plaster from the infected part and took away the diseased stones. Then we come to verses 43 to 47. And it says, and if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he have taken away the stones, and after he have scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out in the city unto the unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. You see, if the priest found remnants of the affection in the renovated house, then the house was to be demolished and removed. You know there will be a time when God will demolish this earth that is tainted with leprosy, my people. He is going to make it clean, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth that there will be, what, free from sin. Oh, it's in the good book. And then we come to verse 48, and it tells us, and if the priest shall come in, look upon it, and behold, the plague have not spread in the house, after the house is plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Now, the same ritual of the 2 birds is followed here as in the case of the ceremonial cleansing of the leper. Then we read, what's that, verses 49 to 53, it says, and he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and to make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Oh, don't that just describe right now how it is when you give your life to God and you're changed over and you've made new, all things are old and all things are new? I mean, you shedding off everything that you had going on, defeat, sin, sickness, poverty, any type of disease, but anything that you got going on and you let go and let God and you free from it, oh, you like this leper. You cleansed. You set free. Shave your head. Wash your clothes. It reminds me even when they had threw young Joseph in prison when he was with his brothers, and he got all the way to where he needed to be. And what happened? They tried to get him, but he was already cleansed. When he came out of prison, what did he do? He shaved his head. He changed his clothes because He was around the Egyptians. He acted like an Egyptian. So what was he doing now? Walking like an Egyptian, because it was all new. He had left the old life alone. He no longer was thinking about his daddy. He no longer was thinking about what was going on. And he just gave his life anew. And right here is what we have, what represents the leprosy. And that leads us to this, the ceremonial law for cleansing of leprosy and issues of the flesh. You see, this is the law, my people, for all manner of plague of leprosy and scar, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean, and when it is clean, there is the law of leprosy. Now, this seems to be an empathic enforcement of the law concerning the cleansing of leprosy. Now, notice that the primary purpose of the ritual was to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is a great spiritual lesson, and it is meant to teach us something, my people. You and I have spiritual leprosy. If either you or I went to heaven without Jesus Christ, without trusting him, we will cry out, unclean, unclean, and we will be cast out. In Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, my people, where are you today? Are you a leper who has come to Jesus Christ for cleansing, or are you still unclean? That is my question. If you'd like to make any feedback or talk about anything, press the number one so I can chime you on in. If you got anything to say, you want to talk about how you got the sin off your life, how you came again and rose again because God knew that he had him won when they got you, and you want to talk about it, just talk about it right now. Press your number one and let's make it happen. I think we got a caller right now, 8826. What would you like to say? Let me unmute your phone. Caller, you're live.
Oh, good evening. Good evening. Good evening, Elder Brother. I was calling to just thank you so much for putting the parallel together of the cleansing of the lepers with the cleansing of our sin. I just thought it was mighty the way in which you allowed the symbolism of the dove and the birds to represent our Lord and our Savior, as it also reflected to me in my spirit about baptism and how you wash yourself and come out as a new man. I really have enjoyed the talk tonight. It has brought a lot of things to my mind to ponder on with respect to the leprosy that some of us are still suffering from, and how to actually get cleansed and how to really become renewed and restored. So I thank you so much for your presentation on tonight. Awesome, awesome, awesome job in giving us a thought ponder with regard to our cleanliness and our holiness.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're on tonight. I want you, if you can, Candy, Elder, if you could just, as I say a few more words, I'd love for you to take me out and with a nice prayer. But I'm going to say a few more things to do a closing statement on this
Absolutely.
Chapter. You see, when we go through life, you know, sin has always been represented in all the bad things that we do, and not recognizing that we were born in sin, and that's all we knew how to do, because that's why they call it the generational curse for a reason. It all came through Adam and Eve, and with that being said, we learn how to grow and move as we get closer with our Lord and Savior, and understanding and exploring the mysteries of God. You see, when we get the opportunity to recollect and use symbolism to reflect about our own lives, it gives us a new meaningful purpose. And I'm only bringing that to your attention because Matthew 15:19-20 tells me, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." You see, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. See, I wanted to just talk about leprosy right quick because leprosy and running issues of the flesh are accurate symbols of the manifestation of sin in the heart of man. You see, it shows the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the effect of sin in action. You see, that is the emphasis of Leviticus because it's an emphasis on sin. You see, the heart of the book, right, on worship of the holy God is this extended section that I just presented on leprosy and the issues of the flesh. You see, the filthiness and the repulsiveness of sin are represented in leprosy. You see, the hopefulness and the deadliness of sin are accurately portrayed in these chapters. You see, the leper who trudged down a hot, dusty oriental road crying out, unclean, unclean, was a reminder to the Israelite that he too was a moral leper who needed supernatural cleansing. Perhaps you are one of those who thinks that you will be saved by your works and that you don't need Christ as your Savior. May I say this to you, if you could go to heaven just like you are without Christ, you would go through heaven crying out, unclean, unclean. You see, no angel would touch you with a 20-foot pole. You couldn't even come anywhere near the presence of God. You see, man has the idea that he has the kind of claim on God, but we have no claim upon him whatsoever. He owes us nothing. He could blot us out of existence, this very little earth that we live on, and it would not even make a dent in this universe if you didn't pay attention. But God, say it with me, but God, thank you. He loves us. I'm so glad that he loves us. That is the only thing that he could, that could bind him to us. You see, God is driving a point home to us, and it is the same point he is driving home to the Israelites back then. You see, sin is exceedingly sinful. The comparison between leprosy and sin is a recurring theme all through Scripture. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh, for I will declare my iniquity and I will be sorry for my sin. That's Psalm chapter 38, verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 18. You see, that is the way that we look to God, my people. Oh, let me finish before I let you go. Isaiah also had leprosy in his thinking as he described the sins of his people. From the sole of the feet unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, what are we? Healed. That's Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Now, some people say he is talking about leprosy, right, when we talked about here, but he is referring to a physical disease. No, my people, Isaiah was talking about sin being laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you be sure of that? Listen to the Apostle Peter. It was 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under unrighteousness, by whose stripes to live under righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. You see, we were dead in sin and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what he did. By his stripes we are healed. Now, it is true that physical disease is a manifestation of sin, and that behind disease germs there lies sin. If there was no sin, there would be neither death nor sickness. There are two important considerations that we should take into account as we lead this chapter. Now, the Bible does not agree with a generally accepted view that leprosy was incurable in that day. Cleansing is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. There were supernatural cures, such as in Naaman's and 2 Kings chapter 5. Some Bible teachers think that Job had leprosy. Since there was no scientific diagnosis of the disease in those days, there has been discussion on what the leprosy was. You see, they had medicines in that day which they used for the cure of leprosy, but this chapter that we're talking about and the following does not contain a cure for leprosy. This could be carefully noted. I hope you paid attention. We was talking about the manifestation of cleansing. It gives instructions to the priest on how a case of leprosy is to be determined and the measures to be taken to prevent it spreading in the camp. After it has been cleansed, there was a ritual to be followed. It was not a cure that is presented here, but in the chapter that I gave you, it dealt with the ceremonial cleansing of the leper after his cure and not the cure itself. The main object was to teach great spiritual truth in connection with the cleansing of leprosy as a type of sin. Now, this is not a scientific treatise on the detection, prevention, or cure of leprosy, my people. There was no attempt to give a medical diagnosis of the disease. The diagnosis of a practical one was adjusted to the knowledge of that day. It had direct and definite spiritual lessons for this day, my people. The ritual was ceremonial rather than curative. Now, there have been a discussion on the part of some Christian physicians as to whether leprosy, as we know it, is the disease that the Mosaic system is considering. There has been much written in the past, both pro and con. It would seem that the descriptions in these chapters describe leprosy as we understand this loathsome and death-dealing disease, but includes also skin diseases, running issues, cancers, tumors, and social diseases. Now, what I want you to recognize is this. The first stages of leprosy were described, and they gave it to you as the cures for sin, how to wash and how to be cleansed. And I just want to thank you for this evening. And all I'm saying is when you confess your sins to God, who already knows them, they are forgiven. And you need to be quick to forgive. That's the moral of this story. And I thank you on tonight, on this evening. Now, Elder Canning, if you may, send us home with a beautiful prayer.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, as we come before your throne on tonight, giving you all honor and glory. Thank you, oh, Father, for your goodness and the grace that is defined in you. You are Abba, Father. You are the true God. You are the triune God. Glory be to your name, oh, God, for it is through you that we live, move, and have our being. You are the creator and the author. You know the mountains of sin that stare us down here on this earth, oh, God. The curse of sin from Adam and Eve ushered in and is still ravaging the earth, and every human bit of its flesh still exists today. Yet from the beginning of time, hallelujah, you made a way for us, hallelujah, to experience freedom from this death warranted for the sin we cannot avoid. Jesus, you are that way. You are the truth and the life. Jesus, you freed us from every sin, curse, heck, and chain when you took on the cross. You know how we feel and faithfully walk along with us. Your Holy Spirit, our comforter, we are grateful that you left it here with us. Thank you, O God, that our salvation is in you. Thank you, O Lord, that you are able to break generational curses. In Christ, the power of sin and death no longer holds us. God, when we forgot our freedom and shared our peace, remind us of who and whose we are. You have given us a purpose that is unique and beyond all we can ever ask or imagine. You know us better than we know ourselves. Our hearts cry out in murmurs. Only the Spirit can translate to heaven. So lead us to your truth of your word, O God. Complete the explanation and the answer. May we bravely come to you for clarification and have ears to hear your answer. From the first page of the scripture to the last, O God, we believe your divinely inspired word to be the only rock solid truth. Help us to build the foundation of our lives upon your word each day. Assist us as we armor up and face this world. May our eyes and our hearts and our ears be open for everything that you might have for us. Generational curses are no match for the power of the one true God. You are mighty to save and faithful and abounding in love for your family. And we are no longer who we were without you, but are adopted into your family. We have become workers of the kingdom of God, and we look forward to eternity in heaven. Jesus, you are our hope. You are our strength. You are our everlasting God. No personal thing can stop the plan that you have for our life. So, God, we don't worry. We continue to increase our trust in you, and we continue to keep our faith in you. And even every curveball that the world might throw our way, oh, Lord, keep us alert and focused on you at all times. For we know that you came for us all, and you have chosen us, oh, God, and forgiven us our sins and have softened our hearts for your word. We believe in you, Lord, and we thank you for embracing us, oh, God, when we thought the curse and sin would surely kill us. We thank you, oh God. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for the victory in it all. In Jesus' name I do pray. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you and amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I received that. Thank you, Elder Candy. I appreciate that on tonight. Once again, everybody, this is Omega Ministries Group Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Servant Jason Felix, thanking you from Detroit, Michigan. Where we right there in the midden, right at the bottom. You know how we do and how we move. This is how we do, giving God all the honor, glory, and praise. I just want to thank you on tonight. And thank you again, everyone that came and listened. If you ever want to see, get an opportunity, relapse of the show, you go on Omega Ministries Group. .org and look for my name and check it out. And if you haven't done so yet, if this is your first time knowing, I want you to go to myevent.com and type in my name, Jason Felix, and purchase you purchase you a raffle ticket. For we're doing a raffle for my book that I just wrote. I'm a self-published black author, and the book is called Mozambique, and it is on Amazon.com and Barnes and Nobles, and I want you to get it. But what we're doing is we're running a raffle where the winner will be chosen on March the 31st live, Facebook Live, that is, at 8 o'clock, where it will be electronically drawn, and that winner will receive a signed book with a duo DVD disc of A Life in a Day inside the club itself. So with that being said, also we have a pop-up shop for a double good popcorn for my church, Judah Tabernacle. If you get the opportunity, check it out, Double Goods, and look up Judah Tabernacle, and it's the ACE, A-C-E, and it'll take you right there. Be a blind donation. Don't have to use my name, just a point that you were able to share in the goods. So I thank you on tonight. And if you have the opportunity, in exactly 1 hour, you can meet us on our intercessory line. The number is area code 515-606-5317. That's 515-606-5317. And then our passcode is 511-407-POUND. That's 511-407-POUND. And once again, I thank you on tonight. See you next week, 9 o'clock sharp, where we will explore the mysteries of God. And know this, Jesus is Lord.